A couple of weeks ago, I guess it was a week before last, I was almost lynched before I got up on the platform because of the title of the sermon, Women Submit to Their Husbands. I didn't say it. Come on, it's right here in Ephesians. It's not my words. And this week, I wondered if maybe I was going to get it from the other side, from the men. Civilized cavemen. You know, I think that that men have been getting a bad rap for quite a long time. And if you look back in history, just about the time we were getting out of lace shirts and leotards and high-heeled shoes, just when we just started to begin to dress with pants and regular shirts, and we were beginning to feel good about ourselves as men, along came a guy that said that we came from apes. And he had this crazy theory that throughout millions of years, we evolved from apes and eventually began to stand upright, and we stopped dragging our knuckles on the ground, and we became man. Trouble is, with that theory, they still are looking for the missing link. And a man by the name of Dr. Leakey, and his theory's leaky too, but anyways, Dr. Leakey and his son have spent their lives digging through bone shrouds all over the world, looking for the missing link. If only they knew God's word, they would know where man came from. If only they would believe God's word, then there would be no question. They wouldn't be sifting through bone shrouds looking for the missing link. And so we have Uncle Darwin to thank for the idea that man drags his knuckles and came from mindless apes. It's kind of funny how the media and Hollywood has picked up on that theme over the years. I was just thinking about it. You know, you had Tarzan, who was living with apes, acts like an ape. And you have beautiful Jane, this sweet little thing, that innocent little thing, civilized little female that comes to fall in love with this mindless ape, Tarzan. And of course, you have more recently in the commercials, you have the cavemen that the theme is there. It's so simple, even a caveman can do it. If you've seen those, I laugh every time I see those. Those will be going on for a while because they're doing well with those commercials. And then, of course, maybe a little more civilized, moving towards the more civilized level, is Tim Allen with Tool Time and his oh, oh, oh thing, you know, the sound of an ape. Whenever he saw tools, you know, when he saw drills and big motors and big engines, you know. Still making ape noises. Hasn't quite gotten civilized yet, though. And I have to laugh, though, sometimes because just 2 days ago, one of my friends came down from the Northwest. He and his wife are good friends with my wife and I. And whenever they come down here to visit her mother, we get together. And he wanted to do something, and I said, "Well, let's go drive around, and I'll take you to one of the hot rod shops where my friends work, and we'll show you some hot rods because he likes hot rods." So we went over to one of my friends' shops in Riverside, and oh man, ooh, man, there was about a dozen. Really, I mean, everything from tea buckets on through to lead sleds and you name it. I mean, there was all kinds of hot rods there, and he got all excited and the testosterone started pumping. And well, what should we do now to beat that? Well, let's go to Quade's Harley Davidson, you know, in Loma Linda. So we went over to Quade's Harley Davidson dealership, and we drooled there for about an hour. And man, all the memories and the dreams and the things that we did as young men in motorcycles, you know, all we were telling all the guys, the salesmen, oh yeah, I used to have a Sportster, you know, and Greg was telling me all about, you know, to total strangers. We're sharing all these intimate stories about our Harley Davidsons, you know. And, you know, I just was reminded that men are very different sometimes than females. And I got to thinking about that difference. And I began to realize that if you watch the way men are and you observe the things that men like to do, men tend to gravitate towards very simple things, very rugged things. Women tend to gravitate towards things that are a little more complex. So I began to think about that, and I began to realize that whenever I go to the mall with my wife and we do the mall crawl, whether it's Ontario Mills or if it's the mall in Moreno Valley or out in Palm Springs, I begin to make a mental note. I begin to think, you know, every time we pass by this one shop in the mall, there's usually men standing out front with tons of bags. And usually they have the little kids with them. And they've got this look on their face of like total exasperation. And they go from one foot to the other like this. And some of them will even sit down. And the store, you look at the store, it's Victoria's Secret. And it's like these guys would rather, you know, take a nail and poke it in their eye than stand there. And they're just totally, you know, when is she coming out? And, you know, an hour and 45 minutes later, she comes out and there's more bags to carry. It's easy for men, you know, we don't need to go to a place like Victoria's Secret. We go into Costco, you know, and we have underwear, socks, blue jeans, shirts, tools. Oh, we have everything we need in one store. We don't have to go to a dozen malls and walk around in the heat and look for just the right thing. We have it all right there in Costco, one-stop shop. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah, I like it. I like Costco. It's my favorite hangout. Oh, well, I can't leave this out. You've got this place in most malls. It's called Bath Body Works. I can't even say it. Bath Body Works. Is that what it's called? Yeah, something like that. And I, you know, I have to confess, I go in there usually around Christmas time and around, you know, Valentine's time. And here are glass, rows and rows of glass shelves. Okay, and on these shelves you have every scent you can imagine. You know, there's lavender and there's roses and there's little bottles and little jars of creams and shampoos and I guess there isn't shampoo there. No, that's in another place called Bed Bath and Beyond. Bed Bath. I'm always looking for the Beyond. You see, it's like I'm going beyond. Enough of this. Where's the Beyond? I want to go beyond. But anyways. You have all this bed and bath stuff going on. And it's, you know, it's interesting because you don't usually see too many men in there. And if you do, they're passing through quickly. It's like, that'll be good. Thank you. Goodbye. You know, they're not going, how's that smell, dear? How's that smell, dear? And you come out of there smelling like some kind of a perfume factory. All right? Oh, it's good. Good. Buy it. Let's get out of here, you know. And then there's this thing, I can't stop. I get going here and I got wound up as I was thinking about the differences between men and women. And you have these things that they're called candle and potpourri stores. I remember the first time I ran into this stuff called potpourri, I came home and there in the living room were some roses hanging upside down from the ceiling. And they were dead. And I said to my wife, don't these roses need water? No, stupid. That's potpourri. Oh, okay. I get it. You see, come on. Guys just want to have fun, huh? They want it simple. They want it simple. They want it basic, all right? And if you want to know when a guy has had a little too much of the foo-foo stuff, all right, usually he goes, here's what he does. He either goes fishing. He goes dirt bike riding out to Glamis, where there's dust and dirt and all that stuff, you know. Or he goes mountain climbing, all right. Or he'll get out his power tools and start doing something, you know, making something. Getting his hands greasy, whatever he has to do. Some guys like to chase a little white ball around with a stick. Now, that's not one of mine, but some of you like that. But I sense, as I talk to some of my friends, that it's all an attempt to get back to the simple things. Get back to the dirt. Get back to the grassy golf course. Get back to the mountains. Get back to the simple things. Away from all the potpourri and the sprays and all those things. We got to connect with the man stuff. Right? Okay. So, we got to face it, ladies. Men and women are just wired differently, aren't they? Okay? And I don't think any amount of coaxing or culturing is going to change things a whole lot, at least in the next million years. So much for Darwin's theory. But with that in mind, I'd like for us to talk about building strong relationships. What does it take to build a strong relationship? What does it take to build a strong marriage? What does it take to build a strong church? Or a strong community, or a strong nation. Okay, guys, here it is. It's simple. Real simple. This is the gospel truth. Written by someone who knows the gospel, lived the gospel, and preached the gospel. Galatians chapter 5. Let's take a real quick look. As you know, I told you we were going to move on to chapter 6. Well, so much for that. We're going to stick in 5 for just a little bit longer. Galatians chapter 5. Beginning with verse 25. I'm sorry, Ephesians. I'm still thinking about Galatians. We need to go back to Galatians. There's some heavy stuff in there. Anyways, Ephesians. Thank you, Marty. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Okay, guys, it's real simple. All right? This is just like taking that wrench and torquing down on the bolt. All right? It's just really basic. You know, and here it is. Husbands. Okay, and I'm going to put in there, you know, single males too that are trying to establish relationships with females. Okay, but let's focus here for a moment on husbands. Husbands, what? Love your wives. Is that hard? Is that difficult? Some of you are saying, yeah. Right. Oh, well, we won't get over that. We won't go there. Husbands, love your wives. How should you love your wives? Okay, number one, love your wives. But then we go to, how shall we love our wives? And here's the answer. It comes, love your wives as Christ loved the church. As Christ loved the church. And how did Christ love the church? Ah, thank you very much. He died for you. How many of you husbands, we won't raise hands here, would die for your wife? That's a heavy one, huh? Think on that one for a while. How many of you men would be willing to die to take the place of your wife at the firing squad? Okay? Because that is precisely what Jesus Christ did for you. All right? Very simple. Love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Okay, that's number one. Verse 28. We're going to skip a little, but we're going to go to verse 28. In the same way, husbands, he's saying it again now, husbands ought to what? Love their wives as their own bodies. Oh, so now we have another dynamic here going on. Love your wife as Christ loved the church. Now, it's love your wife as you love your own body. Okay? And that's trouble. That's a troublesome area. Because, you know, some guys maybe don't love their bodies very well. It's pretty rare, though, because I know there's a lot of neurosis and there's a lot of psychology and there's a lot of gooey stuff in all of this, you know, as far as loving yourself and loving your wife as much as you love yourself. But often you will find that women that are abused and women that are not treated properly in a marriage relationship are women who are suffering from a husband who loves himself too much. He's so self-centered and so egocentric that he can't express himself, he can't show any love towards his wife, all right? So there's a problem there, that, and we're not going to go into all the ramifications and all that goes on there. But love your wife as you love yourself. If you're treating yourself right, you're going to treat your wife right too. And some of this might harken back. Some of this might go back to how you were raised and what was modeled for you by your father. And it might go back to some of the damage that was done in the family of origin, your original family that you were raised in. And it's a known fact that husbands that are not parented properly in the childhood years are not good at parenting themselves, and so they are abusing their wives. So sometimes we need to learn to parent ourselves. And you're going, well, what do you mean, parent myself? I only have one set of parents. Why am I parenting myself? Well, because at some point, hello, you do have to get out of the nest, and you do have to begin to parent yourself, okay? Your parents can't parent you the rest of your life. You know, some of you are saying yes, but you know what? It goes on all the time, and it is a serious, serious problem. You still have parents trying to parent their adult children. And that's called enmeshment. And I can give you all kinds of names. I can give you all kinds of names that go along with that that aren't good and aren't healthy. There comes a time that you clearly leave your family and you cling to one. Well, are we quoting the scriptures here or not? Isn't that what it says here? For this reason, verse 31, for this reason a man will leave his father and mother and what? Be united with who? With his wife. Oh, so there's another phase in this too. Love your wife as Christ loved the church. Love your wife as you love yourself. And then be a man and learn to parent yourself in a healthy way so that you can also love your wife who you have joined yourself to and become one. You see that? Verse 31, become one with her. Okay, let's look at verse 33. Paul's not going to let this go, is he? Is this simple enough, guys? Okay. This is not all about foo-foo, and this is not about potpourri and Victoria's Secret and all those other things. This is just guys now, okay, guys? Focus on this. This is the third time now the Apostle Paul has said what? Love your wife. Verse 33. Okay? A man should love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Do you want respect from your husband, from your wife? Then love her. Is that hard? Love her. Love her in the way Christ loved the church. Love her the way you love yourself. Okay? I drew a picture here. I'm visual. So if you look at my sermon notes, sometimes there's all kinds of things that probably wouldn't mean much to you, but it mean a lot to me. I drew a picture here of a three-legged stool. Okay? And if you want a healthy relationship with anyone, I don't care if it's a coworker, if it's someone in the church, if it's a boyfriend or a girlfriend, if it's a husband or a wife, if you want a healthy relationship, there are three things that are vital and important to a healthy relationship. We just read them. Love God. Well, actually, let's turn to Luke chapter 10. Okay, where do you think the Apostle Paul got this concept? Luke chapter 10, verse 27. Oh, let's go to verse 26. Jesus, of course, is talking here, and he's talking about the parable of the Good Samaritan. And in verse 26, he's asking a question. What is written in the law? He replied. How do you read it? In verse 27, it says, and he answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Do you see the three elements there? Love God. You want a healthy relationship? Love God, number one. Number two, love your neighbor. Now, we say, okay, we're supposed to love our neighbor more than we love ourselves. No, that's not what it says. It says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. There's an equalness there, okay? It's not off balance. If you love your neighbor as you love yourself, there isn't going to be trouble, is there? If you love God equally, there's not going to be trouble. Now, granted, the scriptures say that we need to love God more than anything else and above all else. But when you come to a healthy, balanced relationship, they need to be, the legs of the stool need to be the same length when it comes to a relationship. You ever sat on a stool where one leg is shorter than the other? You rock back and forth, don't you? It doesn't feel very strong, does it? It feels insecure. It feels unstable. The same thing is true in our relationship with the church, our relationship with each other, our relationship with God. We need to have a balance in that relationship. Have you ever met somebody that was so gung-ho, and please do not misquote me or misunderstand what I'm talking about here, but someone that is so gung-ho about God that they are of no earthly value. They are just so totally, totally focused that you cannot get them to understand what's happening in the community around them or in the family around them. Come on, some of you are saying, "Hey, wait a minute, Pastor. Now you're saying that you know we need to back away and we shouldn't be so carried away with God and all that stuff." What I'm talking about here is an obsession. I'm not talking about balance. I'm talking about obsession. You know, David Koresh thought he had it all right, and he became obsessed. And he's a classic example of a person whose three-legged stool became off-balanced. He lost touch with reality. Okay? He believed he was Jesus Christ. All right? That does happen. Okay? How about somebody who is obsessed with the other legs of the stool, with themselves? What do we call that? Narcissism, thank you very much. You ever met somebody like that? You like to be around them? No. They're off balance. They're not balanced like Jesus is saying here, and they're not balanced like what Paul is saying here. They're off balance. How about somebody that's just absolutely obsessed with his wife? Is that healthy? Some of the wives are saying, yeah. It's good. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. Because usually husbands that are that obsessive are going to be trouble. Boyfriends that are that obsessed with their girlfriend will later become abusive husbands. I've seen it happen over and over. I can predict it. I can tell you it's going to happen because I've seen it happen. I'm old enough to have experienced it. I'm old enough to have counseled people. When a man becomes so obsessed with his girlfriend that he cannot spend any time with the guys, or he can't spend any time away from his girlfriend, that all he does is eat, drink. I mean, he's obsessed. He is an off-balanced person and will not make a good husband. I'll put money on it. Okay? There's got to be balance in every single area of your relationship. God, yourself, and your wife or your girlfriend or boyfriend. They need to be balanced. I really like the Apostle Paul and how he paints this picture for us of a healthy relationship. This also applies to the church. You see? A church needs to keep balance. It needs to be healthy. It needs to make sure that the legs of the stool are the same length. Churches that get carried away with constantly always just doing outreach, 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 are not balanced. Churches that do nothing but just take care of themselves and in a little huddle like a little sheep become a country club church. They never grow. Okay? So you see the parallels that the Apostle Paul is telling, he's showing us here. Okay? That we need to have balance. We need to be healthy in every relationship, in every aspect of our lives. And I can guarantee you that if you can bring these three elements of your life into balance, if you can bring them together, you will have a firm, solid platform upon which to build a marriage, a friendship, or a church. Okay? And you're not going to rock back and forth and tip this way and that way. You've got to keep a solid balance. Christ first, yourself next, and other relationships third. And I know that flies in the face of pop psychology or whatever, you know, or whatever you want to call that. Well, you know, we shouldn't love ourselves because, you know, you've heard that. What is Paul saying here? He says you've got to love your wife as you love yourself. So first you've got to love yourself to love your wife, don't you? It's got to come in that order. Because if a man isn't, if he doesn't love himself, if he hasn't been parented well as a child, and he hasn't learned to parent himself, how in the world is he going to be a good husband or a good father or a good mother? And I'm talking both men and husband and wife here too. Okay? So, the message of Ephesians is this, simply this, guys and gals. Simply to be balanced in our relationships with each other, with God, to be balanced individuals. And upon that platform, you can build healthy marriages, you can build healthy friendships, you can build healthy churches. Because if you were to look at the life of Jesus, you would discover that same balance. He had a relationship with his Father. He knew who he was. There was no question as to who he was. He loved himself. And he also loved the church. Do you see that? Jesus gave us that model, the three-legged stool. Now, guys, I hope that was simple. Ladies, I apologize. Maybe we can make it a little bit more difficult than that. No, but the point is, the gospel is simple. It doesn't have to be difficult. Relationships can be simple. We make them messy. We're the ones that bring in the dynamics that make things all messy. Keep it simple and keep connected to Jesus Christ. God bless us as we continue to worship Him in song.